When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our colleague Noel is currently on an adventure, but will be returning soon.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is one of our favorite times of the week, fellow conspiracy realists. It is time for us to hear from you and share your stories with your fellow listeners. Now, we spend a lot of time, Matt and I, going through various social media platforms, going through various other forms of correspondence. We check the voicemails, we read every email we get, and our only regret, which will be a long-standing regret, is that we can't do a single episode with everyone all at once, because that would be hundreds of thousands of amazing pieces of correspondence. And honestly, Matt, I feel like Mission Control would kill us.
Yeah? Hopefully not, Paul. Please don't do that.
Well, not in a traceable way. He's a very clever man. you know what I mean? Like, I just...
Oh, I
get it. Accidents happen. Yeah. But...
oh, my God.
Well, so that's
you heard it here first. You know where to look if something happens to us.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, Matt, because we are exploring today some pretty strange stuff, I'm wondering particularly if you feel there are some shades of car stuff in today's or in this week's listener mail segment, because it's something you found very interesting from people who called 1-833-STDWYTK. We were talking about this briefly off air, and you said, okay, look, man, this guy might be familiar to you, but mm-hmm. I have not heard this voicemail yet.
Okay. You haven't heard the voicemail, but you're going to be aware of the topic. I know you are. This is a message that we received from someone named Fozzie. So why don't we jump right into it?
Hey there, Conspiracy Bros and the three awesome super producers. Conspiracy Fozzie reporting a topic that I think you all should hopefully cover in an episode or partial episode. The man that's been called a one-man environmental disaster, Thomas Midgley Jr., the scientist who's played a major role developing leaded gasoline and some of the first chlorofluorocarbons, better known in the United States by the brand name Freon. Both products were later banned from a common use due to harmful impact on human health and the environment. He was granted a more than 100 patents over the course of his career, and he's been called a one-man environmental disaster. That was all taken from the Wikipedia. I find the fact that he's created two of the most dangerous environmental hazards of our lifetimes fascinating. These are problems that the world is still recovering from, and, you know, like, ghosts are going to haunt us for quite a while. Thank you, and you have permission to use my name, and I want to thank you all. I've been a fan of your show for a year and a half, and I've been listening to you guys as I work, and it's been helping pass the time. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Oh, boy. Conspiracy Fozzie coming in with something that I didn't know about. But, Ben, I heard your reaction. Well, what is your initial reaction to that message from Fozzie?
Other than loudly exclaiming, oh, yeah, this is funny because Matt Fozzie, fellow conspiracy realist, before the end or eternal pause of car stuff, this was on my list as an episode for that show. And you know this, Matt, we are big fans of our good friend of the show, recurring guest, Scott Benjamin himself. Scott has always had a deep and abiding interest in two things, cars and crime. Those are like his two things. And I, I think you and I both hold Scott in such a high esteem. He's an awesome dude. Yeah. I don't say it lightly.
I mean, that's why illegal street racing is the most exciting thing you could ever talk about with Scott Benjamin. Illegal street racing, because it's both cars and crime. And modding the vehicles, just, oh, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, mind-boggling. And we also did, there's a lot of true crime in the car stuff catalog, which is pretty deep. One I always love to recommend is the saga of the Dale car. If you like conspiratorial stuff, I would also recommend checking out the story of Tucker and what happened to the Tucker Automobile Company. This is one that we did not, as far as I can recall, have an episode on, but I had done a lot of digging on it. And the way that I got to it, Matt and Fozzie, is that I was going through this phase, you probably remember a number of years ago, man, where I started getting irritated by what I saw as unnecessary signs just all around people's everyday life, like drug-free school zone implies that there is somewhere at some school, a zone that is for drugs, or, in particular, the idea of unleaded gasoline, right? Gasoline, the vast majority will not have lead. There are some old engines that need lead additives, right? But in this country, pretty much any gas pump you go to is going to say unleaded gasoline. And at this point, they might as well say something like there is no kryptonite in this gasoline, just to be clear, in case you were wondering.
Let's get into that. Let's jump fully into this. Okay. So we're talking about a scientist, a very intelligent engineer and inventor. We're talking about Thomas Midgley, that is M-I-D-G-L-E-Y Jr. Very important, because there is a senior who was also an inventor, I believe, and an engineer. But this is the junior. And this person is born in the 1800s, I think it was 1889, and went to Cornell University and got a degree in engineering and started working for some of the big names in automobiles in the early 1900s. And there was a problem with vehicles around that time. And Ben, I know you got some on this. The problem with these vehicles, because of these internal combustion engines that they had, where there are all these little explosions occurring, moving the pistons up and down, vehicles often had this knocking that would occur. The engine itself would kind of knock around. It was clunky. It's like an old clunker, you might say. And everybody had to deal with it. And the automobile industry was looking for a solution. And old Tommy Midgley Jr. came along and said, well, I'm going to try a bunch of things, including putting iodine into the fuel mixture, putting other chemicals, like basically going down the periodic table. Like, what if we add this one or that one? And he found a solution. And it was lead. That is why there is now unleaded, unadamantium gasoline.
Right. Non-kryptonite, no adamantium. That is big oil's promise to you. Yeah, you nailed it, Matt. You nailed it. Engine knocking was a crazy and a real thing. At this point, I think, in time, Midgley Jr. started working for GM around early 1900s, called 1916, I think. He was trying to figure out what the solution was. He knew the problem was due to the way that gasoline burns, right, in the cylinders of your garden variety internal combustion engine. But he wasn't sure how to like punch it up to get it to be a little bit less knocky, to be a bit less of a clunker, as you said. And as you pointed out, as Fozzie points out, this guy found what he thought was a solution, which was leaded gasoline. And GM was going in the gas game at that time with a proprietary additive. It wasn't just straight up lead, right? It was something called ethyl lead compound.
Well, yeah, because they could patent that, right? They could trademark that. Then they can sell it because, you know, lead itself, it's not just lead from GM. You know, it's not something you could sell and make a huge profit on. But if you patent it, you put it into a thing that goes into your gas tank. Now there's some money for you. And, you know, GM, as all corporations, profit-driven. So they figured out how to do that. well, and I guess we can, I mean, just for the case of this conversation, we can just say what happened to the lead. We took it out. We humans and smart engineers like Midgley put other things in there. It is now ethanol, correct? So you'll see at the gas pump, largely, at least within the United States, I know for sure, a certain percentage of ethanol will be in that gasoline you're adding to your vehicle. And it's serving the same purpose.
Yeah, you might have seen it called flex fuel before. The story of ethanol itself is the story of another, I guess we could call it a conspiracy, the story of big corn, right? And AKA the reason corn syrup is in so many things that Americans consume. You know, you got so much corn, you got to find a way to do something with it, right? The profits must expand. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back.
The thing about Midgley for our purposes here is this. It's not as if he were just a brilliant mind unaware of the consequences. This guy was operating in a world where the dangers of lead exposure were already very well known. You might not have maybe thought of it if you were someone just popping around your Model T or whatever, but if you were a chemist, it is, I'll say it, it's not even virtually certain. It's absolutely certain you would know this stuff was poisonous. And Matt, from my understanding, Midgley Jr. kind of had a rep for working with known poisonous substances.
Oh yeah. Oh, he certainly had a penchant for it. And he himself got lead poisoning due to his work with lead. It's true. He knew that seven people died from lead poisoning when they were creating the substances, you know, while his work on fuel additives. It was a known thing. He took a, I think it's described in one of these articles, I think from famousscientists.org. There are several amazing articles if you look up Midgley. It talks about how he took a, quote, long vacation while suffering from the effects of lead poisoning. but lead isn't the only thing, as was stated by Fauci, that Midgley had a hand in when it comes to, you know, lead in our environment. Oh, there's this other thing. CFCs, also known as chlorofluorocarbons. He also invented a little thing that we call Freon. Again, automobile related. In this case, helps your vehicle's interior and other parts stay cold, which is a much appreciated thing in the summers, especially here in Atlanta. Having a cool car, I mean, not necessarily the CFCs. But theoretically, an amazing invention that helped everyone until it was in the environment for long enough that we realized, oh, this is bad.
Right. Yeah. And this has also led to, not wordplay here, it has led to the death of many dogs, right? It's led to the death of children. It's led to a lot of, I would say, unintended long-term consequences. Midgley, by the way.
Well, do you remember that thing called the ozone layer? Remember that thing? We used to hear about it as kids.
Yeah, back in the day, back in the day. We should check on the ozone layer, don't you think? Let's see how it's doing. It's kind of like looking up somebody on Facebook at this point. Ozone depletion, it's a real thing. Let's talk about the chlorofluorocarbons, though. I think that's where we're going with this, right?
Well, yeah, it has been proven in the decade since CFCs were a thing and Freon was invented that they were used so much by humans, much like lead gasoline. It was just the new thing. These are the new things that work. We're going to use them. So everybody picked it up. Well, CFCs tend to do this little thing like creating massive holes in the ozone layer, which is one of our best ways to protect ourselves, you know, all life on planet Earth, from radiation from the sun. It's no bueno. And this is a thing that tends to occur, and we keep seeing history repeat itself, where a brand new, large, usually chemical invention, something that is patentable, something that can go out there in a free market, and it ends up just causing major detrimental effects on the environment largely, which then affects humans.
Agreed, man. And the issue goes back to what's called the tragedy of the commons. If you can make short-term microeconomic gains for something, then why should you be on the hook for the macro level problems posed by this, right? It's a conversation that goes back to the industrial era and the shadow or the specter of the consequences of large-scale fossil fuel use. We know that these problems are fixable, but they require a kind of coordination that the human species simply has no precedent for being capable of. I want to point out, Matt, there's this fascinating article by Susan Fortane on Interesting Engineering, Thomas mm-hmm. Midgley Jr., the man who harmed the world the most, right? I think that goes to what you were talking about here. In this article, there's a quote from Thomas Midgley when he is talking to a fellow named Charles Kettering in 1923. This is after he's recovering from lead poisoning. And you heard about this part, right? Like he wanted to demonstrate that gas with lead in it was safe by huffing it. This is a true story. He huffed it for 60 seconds. Yeah. And he's laid up recovering. And he says on this phone call, quote, "Can you imagine how much money we're going to make with this? We're going to make $200 million, maybe even more." I am kind of free, taking some artistic license with the accent. Well,
of course. No, I saw that and I was like, there's no way he said that, because it just seems so evil scientist kind of thing. But no, it's not. It's not evil scientist. It's a very straightforward capitalist. That's not the only experiment he did with one of his own inventions, by the way. He also, after inventing Freon, at this convention in 1930, I think it was, 2 years after he invented the stuff, he inhaled a whole bunch of Freon, and there was a lit candle, and he blew out all the Freon to blow out the candle, just to show everybody that he's fine after inhaling the Freon, and the candle went out. It did not burst into flames, so the substance is not flammable. So we're all good. And I guess we thought we were, right? CFCs is a little different because it seems like it wasn't as much of a known thing at the time. But correct me if I'm wrong in saying that, anybody listening who knows more about this, because this is just us dipping our toes into this gentleman and his inventions.
He really was a pioneer, you know.
Oh,
it
yeah.
CF seemed fine at the time, right? So I know.
I can't.
but you're absolutely right. You know, interesting thing about this guy, he did die as a result of his inventions, but maybe not the way some people are thinking.
Later in his life, just before he passed, he was suffering from polio and he could not move very well. So he invented this series of pulleys and things that are attached to his body that he could move. And I guess you would say ambulate himself. And apparently he was discovered strangled via the mechanism itself. Like stuff got wrapped around his neck in a bad way and he passed.
Mm-hmm. And experts were certain this was an accidental death, I think it's an interesting note. It's also as you all know, Matt and I are pretty big fans of the bibliographies on Wikipedia and also the obscure, weird articles. So Fozzie, as you were mentioning, you cited a Wikipedia article on Midgley Jr. I hope that you, if you haven't checked it out, check out another wiki link that is, I believe, in the bio on Midgley. It's, quote, list of inventors killed by their own inventions. And it's a real thing. And it's exactly as sad and poetic as you might assume from initially hearing that. But so Matt, what did this, like, when you heard about this, when, you know, it's very difficult to trace the origin of many inventions, many innovations, right? Because people are often standing on the shoulder of giants. There's a lot of parallel thinking. There are a lot of incremental improvements made to something. It's pretty rare, honestly, to find a single person who did a single thing. And yes, Midgley made Freon. So what stands out to you about this story? Do you think there's anything we can apply to the present day? Like, why did this call to you?
Oh, it really calls to me just thinking about how, especially in lead additives to gasoline, how much the scientific community that is working, that section of the scientific community that is working for a private corporation, because, you know, he's not the only scientist and engineer who's working for GM. He's a part of a large group who are doing that. How all of those people will decide, you know, I'm employed, I have my own personal life and everything. I see a solution here, a possible solution. I understand as a scientist and, you know, having an understanding of chemistry and how certain substances interact with the body and the environment, that this is going to be damaging to both humans and other animals and the environment, but it's going to help me in my career. It's going to help the company find success and profits. So I'm going to choose to do this. I think that choice is happening all the time across the world right now. Maybe even somebody who's listening to this is grappling with a problem where there's a potential solution that, you know, ticks all the boxes, including the one where it's harmful to humans and the environment. And I'm just hoping somebody listening to this will contemplate a little bit further before they, you know, announce their findings. Because rest assured, no matter what you think as the individual or the team that's discovered something like that, the corporation will probably, just because it has its own wants and needs, will want to move forward with that thing, no matter how dangerous.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think that is a salient point, and I 100% agree with everything that you mentioned. And if you are a fellow conspiracy realist listening to this now and your corporate overlords have told you that the percentage of, I don't know, like puffins or marine animals that might be lost is acceptable for Q2. I don't know if you should listen to them.
The puffin loss is acceptable, sir. That's so messed up.
We'll revisit in autumn. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Fozzie, for sending that message to us. And hopefully we can work this in later. I kind of want to do a whole episode on those inventors that killed themselves with their inventions. That's pretty interesting. All right. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro? Amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we have returned with a response to our earlier conversation about the looming overturn of Roe versus Wade, which, for any non-US listeners, if you're not aware, Roe versus Wade is the Supreme Court ruling that allows people who can give birth autonomy over their own bodies in that regard. That's probably the best way to put it. And we were, I think, Matt, I think both of us were immensely grateful for all the insightful comments we received, all the correspondence. A lot of our fellow listeners wrote in from the field of medicine. We had philosophers writing in, professors. We had people writing in with their own experiences. And in some cases, many of these people had requested anonymity, right, which we do our best to provide. And from those, we arrived at a conversation with our fellow conspiracy realist, Will. Will has given us permission to use their name, and sent us the following email. We'd like to share it with you and then discuss a little bit more about the maybe just like lead poisoning, the long-term consequences of legislation. Will says, greetings. I recently listened to your strange news segment about the leaked Supreme Court decision on overturning Roe v. Wade and about the potential appeal of Obergefell versus Hodges, which would overturn gay marriage. Will says, as a gay man that has been married for the last 7 years and together for a total of 22 years, this makes me feel very scared and very alone since I have no one in the court that truly represents my voice. Since this Supreme Court case kind of went under the radar, at least for me, it's a very sneaky way to attack human rights. It is almost, and Will says, cue conspiracy noise slash music here, if January 6th was a red herring, yeah, there we go, and this was the true coup, or could it be since they couldn't take away one right on that day, i.e. election, that the far right is slowly stripping away the rights of those who have been traditionally seen as opposing them? For whatever reason. But beside the conspiracy theory, another aspect that is troubling are these things called trigger laws from various states. 13 states have laws that will automatically ban abortion upon the official ruling of the Supreme Court. Now, Matt, this is a little bit of a longer letter. I suggest that we double dragon this thing. You want to hop on the latter half?
Jumping in here, a few states already have these laws in place that would overturn gay marriage as well, Mississippi being one and Texas laying the groundwork as well. Like I said, I am afraid of the future for myself and my partner, but what is scarier is these trigger laws, which have a double meaning. One action causing another action, but also because they can literally kill human rights and even humans. I had never heard of them until recently, and I would love a deeper dive into them. Are they legal? I.e., how can you pass an anti-law law and have it in writing? That's a good question. What are some landmark laws that we did not know were trigger laws? What can the average schmo like me do to help get them overturned or invalidated?
These are good questions, Will. And clearly, you know, to be transparent, clearly, Will, you do not subscribe to the political ideology of what would be called the right in the U.S. And the thing about this is that you don't have to subscribe to any consistent or defined political ideology to understand that trigger laws are an issue, and they will be an issue for quite some time. A trigger law is kind of, you know, like if you're ever on a road trip, you call dibs, right, on a seat, you know? It's like, shotgun. Trigger law is kind of calling dibs on something. You're preparing for another event to take place, at which point, kind of like Russia's dead hand system, you have an automated process, or as automated as possible, to ensure that what you want to pass comes to pass. In the U.S. right now, specifically with the case of Roe v. Wade, there are 13 states that have these so-called trigger laws specifically pertaining to abortion and pertaining to making abortion illegal, to banning it. And the idea is that as soon as the ringwraiths of the Supreme Court say, haha, JK, abortion's illegal after all, then those 13 states will be able to immediately say, LMAO, LOL, for real though, it's illegal. And like the, because importantly, not to get too into the legalistic weeds, but importantly, the way that the draft opinion is written, if it does come to pass, makes the matter of people's bodily autonomy a state's rights issue. So it would be up to the 50 states to go their own way. Hashtag no Fleetwood Mac. And the idea, I know. But the
Sorry.
You know what? I'm sorry to everyone. But the idea here is older than I think a lot of people may assume, because there used to be 14 states, or there would have been 14 states with trigger laws specifically about this issue, one of them being Illinois. Their law in this regard was enacted in 1975. And then fast forward several decades, it was repealed in 2017. So trigger laws themselves are a thing that can exist in any number of circumstances. It would not be surprising, for example, to see this tactic used in something like marijuana legalization, or excuse me, cannabis legalization. Then you could just say, okay, if the federal law, like we won't pass our own legalization policy, says, what's a random state?
Arkansas.
Okay, Arkansas. Perfect. You are correct, sir. That is the correct random state we were looking for. So Arkansas maybe doesn't want to straight up say, hey, we're going to make marijuana legal within the state limits of Arkansas, but we're going to have it locked and loaded to be legal as soon as the federal government says, it's up to you all. Do as thou wilt. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is trigger laws are an anticipatory thing. They're not inherently sinister, but in this case, they are definitely attempting to remove autonomy from people who can give birth.
Yeah. And in states like Arkansas, I just happen to have something open about the Arkansas trigger law that's on the books right now, actually. It is the situations where many of these trigger laws ban abortion or are prepared to ban abortion completely, no matter the circumstances whatsoever. Those are specifically the ones that worry me the most, because it removes all nuance from the possible situations that humans find themselves in. I don't want to soapbox. That feels so dangerous to me. To where it is a yes or no situation. It is illegal no matter what.
Right. Yeah. Well said. It is a broad brush, right? And that is a diplomatic way of putting it. And to be clear, you know, will everybody listening, a trigger law it's slang. It's like the street name for this kind of tactic. You're making a law that is currently unenforceable, but can be enforceable if just a few things change. Again, it doesn't have to be sinister. You could lock and load any number of unenforceable laws and then just wait. And there's no statute of limitations unless that's baked in the original language. This is, of course, a hot button issue for many, many people. And again, we can't emphasize this enough. They are used for specific political ends, but the tactic, the strategy behind it is apolitical. It is something that can work. And that's the reason these things will be deployed. Now, will this sort of stuff happen? To answer that question, you'd need a little bit of a magic eight ball or a crystal ball or whatever your methods of scrying may be. But we can say that the Supreme Court and the process of making laws is itself not as set in stone as it may appear, nor as it may be reported. For example, for a non-abortion or non-bodily autonomy kind of legislative move, you can look to Tennessee. Tennessee has recently made camping on public land a felony. And Matt, you and I talked about this a little bit off air, I think, a while back earlier. Was it yesterday? Might have been yesterday.
I think it was yesterday. I don't know. The topic was, you know, what constitutes public land in perhaps a city space or in a more populated town like area? What constitutes public space and what constitutes camping? What could they be trying to control?
Right. People who, for one reason or another, one cavalcade of circumstance or another, do not have a permanent address or living space. You will hear them called the homeless. You will hear them called the unhoused, things of that nature. The conspiratorial bent here is that the Tennessee legislature has made this a felony because it will remove in that state the right of those people to vote. That might seem a little bit like a game of mousetrap, might seem a little bit Rube Goldberg-esque, but more importantly for our purposes, you need to know that this would be unconstitutional according to earlier established case law by the Supreme Court. Specifically, back in 2019, the SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the U.S., backed up a lower court ruling in California that said, hey, if you're homeless, you can sleep on sidewalks, public trails, public parks, if there's not other available alternative forms of shelter. And this comes from the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. It's known as the Martin v. Boise decision. And the idea here is that Tennessee legislature, knowing there have been some changes to the composition of the Supreme Court, can now make this law, which gives the SCOTUS the ability to review this law and to say, I don't think so. Essentially, it's a clever move. Will it work? Just like objectively, ideology aside, regardless of our feelings on felony convictions or public camping or socioeconomic strata, Matt, do you think it will work?
No, because it'll all just become private camping. They'll just be camping on private property. And then they'll have to deal with it, all you private property owners. Ha ha. No, I don't know. It doesn't feel... it's an odd situation to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am skeptical that it will function in the way they want it to.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that Fantasia example of Mickey Mouse as the Sorcerer's Apprentice tells us all we need to know about unintended consequences. Again, importantly, there are trigger laws for other things. There are other ways to push for a new decision in the highest court in the land. I don't know how many people remember this, but back in the day when the Affordable Care Act, sometimes called Obamacare, was passed, lawmakers in certain states also made trigger laws in anticipation / hope that SCOTUS would knock down that plan. There was even, I heard tell, as they would say in Tennessee, that there was a trigger law about a national speed limit in the early 1990s. And it said that it was in Texas, and it said that once there was a repeal of a national...
Sorry.
Once, yes, there was this boy. Yeah, once there was this law that said there needs to be a national mandatory speed limit, and Texas said, you know, as soon as that gets repealed, we will automate overnight the lifting of speed limits, and we will literally send out the transportation department to go and change all those signs across Texas, which is a huge place. You know what I mean? So trigger laws are a real thing. Could you call them conspiratorial? Yeah, I would argue you could. I think maybe one of the most important questions Will is asking here Matt, is how do you make your voice known if you are in opposition to some sort of trigger law? The best way, of course, is not necessarily convenient. It is to directly message your representatives at state and federal levels and to maybe spread the word, engage in activism, things of that nature. You could, if you wish, you can write a letter to the Supreme Court. I doubt they will read it. I'm just being honest.
No, I agree with you, Ben. I think the best action is what you said. Interact with your state legislature. You can do that. If you think about the Capitol building and Congress and the House of Representatives and the Senate and all that, that's kind of a big pond, right? But your state legislature, you're going to find, I have a feeling, that it's way easier to get into contact with somebody if you want to.
Yeah, that part is true. You may receive a form letter response or something like that. But if you continue making your voice heard, that is, in theory, how the system is supposed to work. And I know the idea. I think we both know the idea. Maybe the idea of trigger laws may itself sound triggering to some people, right? And the argument may be for some supporters of these laws, simply put, they may just say, hey, my representatives already know my opinion, my stance on this. And so all they're doing is representing me in this regard. But again, I would warn against the dangers of a broad brush. Laws should not be passed automatically. That is a very lazy thing to do, even if it seems proactive, because as you pointed out beautifully, Matt, there needs to be deep analysis. Words have power. Language has power, right? And they have real-world consequences. Will, you are not far off in saying that certain laws can endanger human rights, for sure, and down the line, they can endanger human lives, very much so. And I would love to hear examples from our fellow conspiracy realists of your experience with maybe laws that are written too broadly, laws that are called trigger laws. Because again, it's the conversation in media now is entirely orbiting the concept of trigger laws in response to abortion. But trigger laws go deeper than that. We would love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, we would. And reiterating one last time, your legislators want to hear your thoughts too, because they exist on votes and mostly campaign money, but votes too, votes as well. There's a quote from a Guardian article where Governor, I think, is it Asa Hutchinson? It's ASA. I don't know how to say it. Asa Hutchinson, governor of Arkansas, is quoted in this article from The Guardian, and he states he's reacting to some circumstances where rape and incest may be a thing that occurs and causes a young girl to be forced to give birth. And he says, these are heartbreaking circumstances. When we passed these trigger laws, we were trying to reduce abortions. But whenever you see that, you know, real life circumstances like that, the debate is going to continue. And here it is, the will of the people may or may not change. That's the important part. The will of the people may or may not change. So if you can just show that the will of the people is different, then those legislatures will hopefully fall in line if they know what's good for their votes.
Mm-hmm. And if you can also engage in lobbying while you do that, your mileage may vary, but you may be surprised how many doors open once the hinges are greased with some cash. So we hope that you can tell that Matt and myself, we're both alternating between optimism in terms of speaking your voice as a voter in the U.S. and, on the other side, the nadir of the whole thing, the deep abiding cynicism of how laws actually get made. But Again, we want to hear your thoughts. We cannot wait for you to be part of this conversation. We also would love to hear your input on other inventors who, whether via accident or via insidious design, became very dangerous people. We try to be easy to find online, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all the hits, all the good ones. You can also enter our sweepstakes if you want a copy of our upcoming book early. It comes with a poster that Matt Knoll and yours truly have signed, and some awesome art for the book as well. But you might say, guys, I'm not really a social media person these days. Twitter is a bloodbath and so on. We get it. Out of any other show you listen to, we definitely get the dangers of social media. But say you have a story that you need to tell us, and you need to, more importantly, tell your fellow listeners, we're just a phone call away.
That's right. We are 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. And at some point in there, let us know if we can use your voice and message on one of these listener mail episodes. Hugely appreciated. Quick shout outs, Ben. Cleopatra, Sade, Kay, Jeff, Mick, Seven, Fate, Bright Warrior, Paul Alex, John, Anonymous, whoever you are, another Anonymous, Jack, all of y'all have been calling in. There's so many, and I am behind, I'm sorry to say, but moving forward. So if you called in recently, we will be listening to you very soon.
And if you don't quite jibe with that, if you don't want to call on the phone and you've dialed back sipping those social meds, never fear. There is another way you can always contact us. We read every email we get. Don't be surprised if I write back to you or Matt writes back to you, because sometimes the abyss stares back. All you have to do is send us a good old-fashioned email where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.